wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, and I'm Zeph without Eric, because this is the 2022 Best of Special. And as long-time listeners know, well, the best of is my purview, shall we say. Eric will join us in flashback form, of course, and I'll let you, dear listener, decide if he gets, well, if he gets his due. You see, he always complains that he gets edged out in these prepackaged affairs. I think it's safe to say it's been a funny old year. And as you, fans of the pod, will attest to, well, we have had a drop in our usual volume. That's volume as in output, not volume as in noise. With all that's been going on, it has been harder on us to find the time to record at regular intervals. There's been a variety of issues.
And I'm Eric.
It has been a long time since we have been together for different reasons. Yeah.
There's always various reasons. Yeah, it's never been like, oh, well, we're in a grudge or something like
that. No. I mean, someone said to me, one of our fans said, oh, you guys haven't done a show for a while. Is there an issue between you? And I'm like, well, I never liked him in the first place, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah. So I haven't fallen out with him. There are all kinds of things been going on, including our other lives, and also the fact that, I guess I should say this, I actually did get COVID, which put me out of action for a couple of weeks.
You know what's weird? I know we had gotten together for the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
Along with a number of other people.
That was
and it was. I know, but it was reported back to me that you had had COVID prior to that. But did you just send me a heart?
I'm sorry. I need to explain. when we're apart, my partner and I actually, we do this over Skype.
Yes, because we're the cutting edge of video technology. Yes. So using Skype.
And we record the show, but we are looking at each other over Skype. And while we were doing that, my reaction bar was up and there were a whole load of emojis. And so I was trying to close it. And because I didn't know how I'd opened it, I just hit it. And then I had sent you
a shower of hearts.
Oh, there you go. At least it worked.
My screen.
So, you know, if you've got
just
away.
Just to say how excited it was to be back together. But yeah. But so anyway.
If you've got away from Skype, get back to it.
From the other member of the household that you had it. And either I was not in your presence when you told everybody that, or I just wasn't paying very good attention because I was like, it's news to me. And I kind of played off that I knew what was going on, but it didn't.
No, you did. I didn't realize you didn't know.
I know that
the pandemic is like kind of old news.
right.
So I got it, So there was COVID, and no, it's not old news, backburner news, perhaps. Anyway, technology has also been an issue, as clearly I still don't really know how to use Skype, even after all these years. We've also had mechanical issues.
It's been a while since I've actually listened to it, so I'm not sure. I did have complaints about my audio earlier on when I was the remote one. Like, you sounded much better because you're speaking directly into the soundboard, whereas mine is coming through the internet.
I was under the assumption I have cured that in post-production using different mixing techniques.
It might be. The one thing I was going to mention is I think I saw something that said Skype is, they're ending support for Skype, which is we're using here still, because, we're from 1998 or something like that. I don't know when did Skype come out, but we may have to make a switch to Zoom or something like that.
Okay. Well, we actually could do it in the same studio, although.
Well, that's that. But I mean, the thing is, this is the whole reason we haven't gotten together. It's like, it's not that it's. Actually, it's more work, more time for you because you come over here. But even so, just like meeting in person is much more like, oh, we're going to have a whole discussion. We sit around. It just ends up burning more day on the weekend.
Yeah, that's true. But I do enjoy the being in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
And next time I come, I will arrive in my new pickup truck. Well, not new.
Have you actually gotten it?
I am now a proud owner of a 2011 GMC Sierra.
Oh, Okay.
Yeah, and it's a regular cab, long bed. It's a truck. It's an old fashioned truck, and I had to hunt high and low for an old fashioned pickup truck.
And you need this for what is it? You need it for again?
Hauling stuff.
Yeah, hauling stuff to and from your no backyard
just around.
Home.
Just around.
Yeah.
It's a big V8, and it's got four-wheel drive. Again, things that I'm probably never going to need.
Well, the four-wheel drive, because you have the same boat as me with summer tires on your car, so it's useful to have a spare car for
once. I put winter tires on my sports car during the winter.
Now you really don't need it. I need it.
Well, now I can. Well, there you go. The truck will be available, and people, all they got to do, because it's a V8, if you want to take up my time, you buy me a cup of coffee and you offer to fill up the gas tank. Mm-hmm. Because in this day and age, that's quite a bill, I would imagine. But yeah, I bought, and of course it was on. I actually went through the whole kerfuffle of. I haven't bought a secondhand car in over 2 decades.
Yeah.
So that shows, you know, you get older, you get to a certain status in life, and you're like, are you always buying a new car? So I'd kind of forgotten, just in general, about sort of the minefield that secondhand car buying can be, and I actually spent a couple of $100 on one of those independent inspectors to go out and look at the car, uh-huh. In this case the truck, and so far this is only day one, it has been money well spent, but the report came back and was very thorough, and you know, they test drive the vehicle, they take loads of pictures, they get underneath it, they check for this, that, and the other, they hook up their own computer if the car is of that ilk,
if you're able.
Yeah, and so it was just interesting in shopping around for an old, for I keep saying old fashioned, because nowadays on the road all you see are these big sort of four-door, like they're not really trucks, they're not trucks as I think of them, they're sort of like SUVs with an open back. But yeah. You look at them and you're like, yeah, but you can't get a lot in there. Whereas I wanted a truck.
Truck. For when you're hauling a lot.
Yeah.
I'm expecting to have repeated announcements of when you actually haul anything. Because color me skeptical.
Okay, that's fine. But what I will also do, though, is inform the listener when the occasion comes, when you call me and go, oh, what are you doing Sunday? I might need a hand with whatever. Mm-hmm. And you know, having, because you no longer have, you used to have that old Highlander, didn't you? But you got rid of that.
I did. And now we just have an old Cross Tour, which is slightly smaller in the back, but that will be its usefulness, four-wheel drive and all that jazz.
Yeah.
We do have a couple things to bring to the dump that I think I can do in the Cross Tour, but
why do it in the Cross Tour
when
you
Zeph.
Can say, hey Zeph, what are you doing? Do you want to go at a dump? And now I'm still at the stage with this vehicle. Whereas I'm, it's like, fun. Yeah, I'm there. I'm game. I'll clear some time and go at a dump. Mm-hmm. Now, if you wait 3 months, I'm going to go, yeah, what's my incentive?
Mm-hmm.
But now, I'll be like, yeah, I'll go at a dump. And so, and here's the other thing. Whoever owned this truck before, performance is the wrong word, but it came up in the report. Whoever the owner was, they'd put on one of those mufflers that makes a whole load of noise. So it sounds like when I just sort of chug around the neighborhood, you can hear me coming. And I'm like, yeah, this is great.
Okay. By the way, we should mention to everybody in case they were wondering about.
Okay, hauling stuff. And can I say that was some sigh from my partner? Anyway, hauling stuff, which in classic Atlantic Voice fashion is the front end of a stretch segue into one of my favorite stories of the last year, of the stranded dog who was saved, not by a truck, but by a drone and a sausage.
We took much longer on this than I expected because we were going to segue into another drone robot.
Yes, real quick, and also a dog story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, stranded this weekend or just a couple of days ago, back in Hampshire, which is a county on the south coast of England, a stranded dog was saved from rising tide after rescuers attached sausage to a drone. Mm-hmm. A team in Hampshire ties sausage to drone as last resort to rescue Millie the Jack Russell from the mudflats. So So the dog had wandered out into the mudflats because it's on the south coast and clearly the tide was coming in. And the poor old dog, who is a Jack Russell Whippet, crossover, she had just decided that she wasn't moving. And obviously the tide was coming and the police and everyone, the Coast Guard.
It was a skittish dog. And so like a person couldn't go out there because she might just run further into the water or something.
And also they're mudflats. So it's quite treacherous to be walking across it. You can't get a boat in there. So ultimately all you can try and do is try and encourage the dog to come out. So what they did was the rescuers had to think imaginatively and they came up with the idea of attaching a sausage to a drone and hoping the scent of the treat would tempt Millie to safety. It worked, and Millie was reunited with her owners. I had originally thought, because again, this is a me thing. I only read the first couple of paragraphs of the article, and then I jump all the way down to the bottom. I had imagined when I'd seen the headline that they'd attached a sausage to the drone. The drone had flown out there. The dog had grabbed the sausage.
Oh, and then flew
and
it
then
back.
Been brought in like a helicopter. Well, in fact, they just waved it around, and the dog chased the sausage. The best quote in the whole article was, Chris Taylor, the chair of the Denmead Drone Search and Rescue Team, he'd said, one of the local residents on the beach where we were flying from supplied us with the sausages. I think they were from Aldi. The woman cooked them up for us, and we attached them with string.
Dog likes cooked sausage.
Yes. So it wasn't a hot dog. It was actually a proper pork sausage, which you probably have to cook all the way through. Otherwise, the dog will get a tapeworm or whatever. So they had to cook them up, then attach them to the drone.
Just a lure.
Yeah, they flew the drone out there. The dog was like, oh, and then the dog came back. I must have basically followed the drone back to safe land, like off the mudflats. Because Millie was hungry, it worked luring her away from the danger to higher ground, which wasn't underwater. We certainly would consider using sausages again. Every dog and search operation is going to be different, but if we were ever in a similar situation again, we would employ the same methods to lure the dog. It doesn't say if they actually tossed the sausage to the dog when she gets back.
Yeah, I hope so. That'd be rude.
According to her owner, Millie really likes food, and she'll eat anything you give her. Raw carrots, cucumber. But she much prefers sausages. Meat is her favorite food, so dangling a sausage was probably the best thing they could lure her with. So there you go. Big drone rescue.
I don't have the article up, but I remember thinking one of the things was towards the end, they sort of talked about like, oh, maybe this is like a new line of stuff we could do. Like that guy with the drone rescue was, it seemed like this had opened a door to him as to like other possibilities of what to do that, oh, I could make a living doing this, you know, whatever it was.
There'll be, I'm trying to think now of the like, old movies from the 50s where the fire brigade are called out to rescue the cat in the tree. Maybe now you can just have drones do all of this.
In fact, I'm trying to find it here. You may see me looking at my phone here, but behind I can't find it. There was an Instagram account that I had recommended to me, you know, like with the whole thing, where it was like it appeared that the guy's entire job was rescuing cats from trees. Like he was like a serious arborist car, like he would go all the hard hat, like he's not like just going up like special ladders and all that. Way up.
Yeah.
And I forget what area in the country he was in, but it was like he must get called, like he would have to drive hours to different places where somebody's cat got up like a 100-foot-high tree and they're trying to rescue the cat, you know, and so he'd get there and the cats would have been up in the tree for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And then he'd go up there and rescue them. So like, I mean, there's a line of business for you. I mean, what do you charge when you do that? Time and materials.
I mean, I've got a segue.
I had another thing about the dog. Do you think the other thing, the article was really had no video. Like how could this have been going on and somebody wasn't filming a video, right?
That did
like,
surprise me. They had time to run to Aldi, have someone cook sausages.
Pick up their phone?
Yeah,
and run a
I
video
can't believe there's no phone coverage or anything of look at the great. Maybe people felt it wasn't going to work. And
yeah, maybe the 2 points, putting them together, maybe it's a scam. Maybe the guy was trying to open a new line for the rescue business. He did not actually rescue you, but he colluded with some folks of like, let's tell a story to the local news that the sausage saved the dog. So this way I can make a couple of bucks on things. And, you know, we can't do a video if we don't actually do it.
I'm actually clicking on the website. They have
some, we can tell because we can hear the music.
Yeah, they actually have sort of a video, but it's not really video. It's just a series of still pictures. The only video is a video. Oh, no, they have a video from the drone. I will link the article.
Okay. Oh, that's true. Good point.
They are showing. I'm sorry. This is my own fault for not researching these things. So the drone is dangling down what looks like at least
a 15. Well, I was going to ask, when they have the, does it mean the sausage was on a string, or the sausage like strapped to an arm?
So it was the sausage was on a string, and to be fair, the dog didn't. I hate to use a cliche. The dog did not bite hook, line, and sinker. When the sausage was first dangled, the dog sort of moved. Then it kind of looked around and wasn't sure, and they had to keep sort of hovering the drone, so the sausage would sort of wave within the dog's line of sight. So we will link the article on the blog. Click on the link. You will see what it actually looked like. But again,
last couple of points.
Yeah. I guess my segue is talking of cooked meats.
We do like our pets on the Atlantic Voice, the New Basement Studio by the lake, home to cats. And our other studio, the one by the river, home to a dog who likes to read or eat. We'll let you decide which.
We have a full, we are doing animals for the first time ever.
Speaking of animals, I literally, we had done a bunch of pre-planning, and as soon as I started talking, the cat has just shown up.
I can see him now on the screen.
You can see him on camera. Sullivan is here. He's investigating the microphone.
And my dog.
In fact, everybody can hear that noise probably right there because he's rubbing his face on the microphone. I would lock the door, but the other member of the household is out of town this weekend. Okay, so.
And then the animals start freaking out.
And so I didn't want to leave them behind and locked behind a closed door because then they'll want to come in. So I thought I'll leave the door open. They don't care. And up, literally, we've been talking for 20 minutes before we just started this stuff. Cats pay no attention. The moment we said, this is the Atlantic Voice podcast, Sullivan came in, jumps up on the desk, and is rubbing his face on the microphone.
Well, funny enough, my dog is just a couple of feet away from me on the floor. Looks like she is chewing through my Roger's thesaurus, which is on the floor, and that's an entirely other story about why it's on the floor.
That's a very literate dog.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I didn't mean she's chewing through it like she's she's not reading
actually
it.
Actually chewing it.
She's actually
literal.
Physically chewing it. Yeah, because she's a 7, 8,
she's
9.
Not metaphorically.
Yeah. No.
Because she doesn't even know what metaphorically means.
Exactly.
She only does. She only
well,
does literally.
Frankly, if she didn't chew through the thesaurus and actually tried to read it, she might know what metaphorical means.
That's true. Yeah. Isn't that a sign of intelligence? Like whether you know what a metaphor is? You know, it's not self-awareness. It's like, do you know what a simile or metaphor is?
And oh, really?
I haven't quite figured out yet.
Is that an AI test? That's something you just made up.
The Turing test? No, I
just made that up. Yeah. A dog eating a dictionary. Correction, a thesaurus. Anyway, last year, we chatted about the two fishmongers in South London who are right next door to each other and were, probably still are, locked in a retail war. Now, as it happens, that conversation could have done with the dictionary, as I get my galaxies and universes confused, and without the help of a thesaurus, my partner and myself engage in the tabloid newspaper tradition of coming up with headlines that are made up of puns.
From, I think it's the Mail, Daily Mail, UK, about a shellfish war or fishmonger war. That's a very shellfish of them was the joke line there. And it's an exclusive article, by the way. It's exclusive.
Well, it's not, though, because I'm reading the Evening Standard where what's the pun they are using? They've been using shellfish, like these people are very shellfish.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to quickly scan through. Anyway, let's give everyone the article and then we can digress.
Tooting neighborhood of London.
South London,
all right.
My father used to live there when I was a young teen, and it's in South London. It's on the tube, and the main street is called Tooting Broadway.
way. Okay. Not that it's, you know, but it's
tooting its own horn.
Yes, there you see, you're into the spirit of British journalism. It's tooting its own horn. And there actually is, I quickly digress, there used to be, when I was a kid, a non-league soccer team, non-league being the very, right, you know, the semi-professional, and it was, the team was called Tooting and Mitcham, as in Robert Mitcham, because Mitcham is also a nearby neighborhood, so they were Tooting and Mitcham.
I thought you were saying, like, Robert Mitcham owned it or Mitcham, something like that.
But we will get to ownership later of Hollywood stars. True. So
there,
yeah,
you go.
So
it's all tied in.
Yeah, we've got couplets and triplets and all sorts.
So in Tooting, there was a fish store.
And Tooting, just a regular, as we say in England, a dormitory suburb. There's nothing else about it. It's just a place where people live.
Right, not a lot of office buildings or things like that, but restaurants and things like that. The first place was Fish Universe. And then it had been there for 20 years, or still is there,
with boss Rafa Kashidi.
Yeah. And now another competing store opened up right next door called Fish World.
Yes.
It was right off the bat, by the way. If Fish were Universe, if you're Fish World, you're really, like, underselling. You're like, oh, listen, we're not a whole universe of fish. We're just a world of fish.
Okay, I get that. Like,
of course, universe being the biggest measurement, you didn't have a lot of choices, you know.
I had this discussion with my stepdaughter the other day. If they called themselves Fish Galaxy, is a galaxy bigger than a universe?
No, smaller. Okay, galaxy, think of the Milky Way galaxy. Galaxy is a cluster of stars, large number of stars, but the universe is everything.
So here's what's interesting about
Universal.
Yes, okay. So wait a minute. So who was the first one?
Fish Universe.
Fish Universe, yes. So they were the ultimate fish store, and right next door.
Yeah.
Right next door.
There's a picture, and maybe not the font, but the color scheme, like the whole thing is like, it just looks exactly the same.
So it's interesting. So anyway, Tooting-based Fish Universe, and then the shop next door, which became Fish World, before that, the same guy owned it, but it was a butcher's, and it was called Meat Wise, but Wise with a Z, or Z. Depending. I mean, in Tooting, you would say a Z, but here in America, we say a Z.
Okay.
So a play on the word wise. So it was meat wise. Mm-hmm. And it said they had been friendly neighbors for several years. But then the latter decided to sell more fish and change the name of his store to Fish World.
Yeah, and I noticed, like, the Fish World says, a little subtitle on there says, fresh fish, halal meat, fruits and vegetables, whereas Fish Universe is just fresh fish and seafood, I think.
He says, we were a meat business, but my business was going down due to the pandemic. There was greater demand for fish, so I felt it was best to pursue that.
Yeah.
So many people, this is the chap who had the butchers, and I'm now getting confused, who became Fish World. He says, so many people were saying his shop was too expensive. I guess because they were getting fish from all over the universe. Mm-hmm. We sell fish much cheaper than him, and he isn't happy about it.
So you got to be careful when you get your cheap fish. Yeah. You know, there's a decent chance it's, there's a little more risk to a cheap fish.
So it says here, the sea is blue. Everything to do with fish is blue. I have a 27-year-old son who works in IT. I spoke to him for guidance. I spoke to lots of people, and they all said blue is the color that works best for a fish business.
Blue is the color.
That's what I did.
Song?
Well, blue is the color. Football is the game. Yeah. We're all together, and Chelsea is our name.
That's right.
But it is true. I mean, then again, I will say this. If you go to any kind of live, once was, what do you call it when something once was live? Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to lump fish and meat together. If you go to the meat counter, it tends to be all white, and then there'll be sort of undertones of red from the meat.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I understand why it makes perfect sense to do a blue sign, because you're now in the fish business.
What does this mean? They're showing in this article, there's a clip of something from the local council, I think. Dear company secretary addressed to Fish Universe saying, fly tipping on the public highway. What's fly tipping?
Fly tipping is another word for dumping. You're just tipping on the fly. You're just lashing your stuff out.
I guess they're being penalized, but I suppose I haven't read enough of this article to figure out whether this was like part of the tit for tat kind of thing where they were going back at each other.
I don't know, but when this is the owner of Fish Universe, when they were a meat shop, we'd send each other customers, but now it's no longer funny. Mm-hmm. It's affecting our business. Some of our customers are confused and think we are the same place. Now, it's at that moment that I do question Fish World's decision to have similar signage, because you might think, well, I'm going to get some customers who are confused.
Since it was Meatwise before, why didn't they at least go Fishwise?
Fishwise would have made more sense, yeah.
Right. You know, just jumping over to World, that even that alone, you know, seems like we're going...
It's using the whole world on global thing. That seems like a bit of a ripoff. Mm-hmm. But again, what the article is notable because depending on what British tabloid you worked, you read, there are all kinds of puns exclusive. On like I've been
exclusive. Maybe that's what the puns were exclusive.
The puns are exclusive. Like, yes, people now get this place confused, and I was the original founder or flounder. I mean, you can just go on forever.
So in
you could have done something differently. I've had enough of him.
Yeah. You have a whole other career waiting for you. So on this side of the ocean, the pond, as they would say, we had a little fish.
Which frankly
news.
Is way below both universe and world. Yeah. If I just said fish pond, you'd be like,
nobody wants to get the fish out of the pond. In Washington, D.C.
Fishy business south of the River Thames. Now, talking of London, well, that is my hometown, way, way back in the day. And while previewing the film Beast in our summer movie preview, you can find them on the blog, we discovered that I share a London borough, Hackney not Tooting, with a certain Hollywood superstar.
Before we talk about the film, I'm going to make one prediction. Sholto Copley's character will die. That's right. Looks like he plays like a big game hunter tour guide type thing with Idris Elba. And before we talk about the film,
well, to be fair, just as somebody who's gone as far, I'm pretty sure the premise is like your guide is not a big game hunter. They have weapons. Well, he's like they're out there. You're supposed to be just out there to see the animals.
Safari, which you've done. You've been on a safari in South Africa, but you made it back.
Yeah. One of the inaccurate parts of that movie is that they're in a truck and it's got windows and stuff. Well, when people go to see safaris, you're in open air trucks. So maybe they decided to be lack of suspense if the lion could just jump
if the lion just jumps in and eat you, your movie is like 25 minutes long. I mean, that's all the reality of it. I was going to say, because you've done a safari and you made it back, otherwise we would have been having open auditions for the second seat on this thing. And my record might be better than 2-9-1. I was at a dinner the other day, and my host said to me that I sounded like Idris Elba, which I don't think is the case at all, but it is interesting. This is a true tidbit. Idris Elba and I are about the same age. I grew up in Hackney. He grew up in London Fields, which is four blocks over from where I lived in Hackney. And he's also an Arsenal fan, as am I. And he's my mum's most favorite actor, Idris Elba. So there you go. I'm connected.
And I'm going to predict this movie will do as well as a movie if you had starred in it.
Yes. That's the unfortunate thing, because I don't see it being...
Ring the bell. A big punchline from my absentee partner. Now, as a punishment for that, this upcoming segment has not many words at all spoken by him, as we bring onto the pod my dear old mother, bless her, to come on and talk about seeing some legendary rock bands back in the day. She's also a big Idris Elba fan. And that wasn't even an attempt at a segue, just a random fact. So I have on the line my dear old mum, bless her, who is obviously a child of the mid 20th century. We are talking Rolling Stones. Mum, when was the first time you heard of the Rolling Stones?
It would have been in the 1960s, and I heard about them really from the radio. And in those days, we used to have, we used to have vinyl, we used to play records, and we had a, so I would buy their records. But I did hear them on the radio, and they were like, because the Beatles, and there was so much coming out of Liverpool, and I think it was the Cavern. The Rolling Stones were really something different. They were more bluesy, not so formulated, and also you felt they were much more influenced by American sort of blues.
So obviously you liked the sound, and so you obviously heard them listening to the radio, the BBC, Radio Luxembourg, whatever.
Yeah.
Did you went to see them back then, right?
Yes, I did. I went to see them. You'll remember the area, Seth. Leytonstone Baths. And during the day, this was a public swimming pool. But on certain nights, they covered the swimming pool with sort of wood planking, and you would have live concerts of the up-and-coming bands. And at that time, when I went to see them, the Rolling Stones were only just starting out. They weren't playing big venues or anything like that. So that really was in their very early days.
I'm sorry, for our listeners that don't know, Leytonstone is an old working class,
London,
was this an indoor swimming pool?
Yeah, indoor bars.
Okay.
This was an indoor swimming bath that, the public would pay and go to during the day.
Now, when you saw them play, I mean, was it, how impressive were they to see them in that small venue?
Oh, well, I mean, it was great, because you've got to remember as well, that they were the sort of early days of when rock bands started to, were playing small venues, and it was the whole atmosphere. And even though all of them, I think, were ex-university, I know Mick Jagger, he went to the London School of Economics, and so their persona was something different from a lot of the other bands at that time. And really, it was just the sound, probably. And they didn't do, they literally played their music. There wasn't any lighting effects or incredible sound. It just, it was like if you went to a church hall and heard a band.
What other bands?
That makes sense.
Yeah, no. What other bands of that era did you see around that time that you'd see that you saw in the flesh, so to speak?
Manfred Mann. You probably don't even remember Manfred Mann.
Paul Jones, come on now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I saw quite a few there. Oh, I saw The Who.
Really?
And I saw them at the Rainbow. Do you remember the Rainbow at Finsbury Park?
I vaguely, yes.
The music venue?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw them. And then I saw quite a... I actually saw... I mean, even before Rolling Stones, I actually saw... Well, these were American. Eddie Cochran and Gene Vincent.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was at Finsbury Park, the Rainbow. Yeah, yeah. So I have seen lots of people. I didn't see the likes of Eric Clapton and the likes of them till a bit later on. So the Rolling Stones were one of the, and Manfred Mann, because Manfred Mann used to play at Manor House Club. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I have a question. I do have a question for you, and I know, talking to my mom, and she won't take this the wrong way. Obviously, you're all of the same. You're all of the same era. Are you surprised at the longevity
of the Rolling Stones? I mean, they you know,
no.
You're not
no,
surprised.
I'm not.
Did you?
I'm not surprised. I think the last time I saw them at a really big venue was at Earl's Court. I can't remember the year, but that was the first time I saw them at a big venue. And the last time I saw them at the big venue was probably 5 or 6 years ago at Twickenham.
Okay.
And by that time, they had a lot of supporting musicians, and there was this great singer who did a lot of duos with Jagger. They're just, you know, you would have like, it would be my age, and then you probably have people with their sons and daughters, you know, where the parents have played the music at home. And I mean, they did do spectacular stage show. I mean, they were quite vital to watch, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I mean, I don't know whether I should say this. I don't know how many listeners you have. But when I saw them at Twickenham, I decided then I wouldn't want to see them live again. You know, it was a bit sort of felt for live concerts.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. But yeah, to be fair, you had that experience of seeing them, like I say, in a public indoor swimming pool.
Oh yeah.
When back in the 60s, it's like you own like a sort of a unique historical experience, I think.
Oh, yes, I'm sure I do.
So how did you feel? Was it sad when you heard that Charlie Watts died?
Yeah, well, it's always sad. And also, Charlie Watts, I mean, he had, because his great, well, you probably know this, his great love was actually jazz.
Yeah.
And he did, you know, and I always felt he had more than one string to his bow. And, I mean, a bit like Ronnie Woods, because Ronnie Woods is one for sort of blues and jazz. So, I mean, I'm not surprised that they've gone on as long as, and they obviously just loved what they were doing. Made lots of money, loved the touring, where you make the money. So, I suppose, you know. No, I'm not surprised.
Well, Mum, thanks for coming on the show. We're in the middle of talking about Charlie Watts, but thank you for coming on and sharing your own, like, really, to whole generations. It's a unique experience. Shows how long they've been. And like I say, I think it's really cool. You saw them in a couple of local venues when they were up-and-comers.
Yes, yes. Okay.
All right, thanks, Mum.
Okay, bye.
Okay, that's what we can get back up there.
So Charlie
Watts. Was so interesting what she said.
Yeah. So Charlie Watts, you know, he did Savile. Of course it was interesting. My partner can be an idiot. I'm not saying this because that was my mum. No, if you like your music, then I'd offer that she was a pretty cool guest to have on our show, on any show, to be honest with you. An eyewitness account of the British invasion back in the 1960s. A decade which, it could be argued, has had the most influence and significance on all modern music. Anyway, speaking of idiots, well, how about yours truly getting a real burger and a fake burger all mixed up?
To you, have you heard about this other tick-borne disease where you can't eat red meat?
No, I've not heard that one. What sort of red meat? You mean like venison? Like deer?
No, none. If you get this disease from these ticks, it's a very rare kind of tick, but it's got like a white spot in the middle, at least if it's a female. They are in this area. You get bit by it. It somehow transmits an allergy to basically what's in red meat. It's a sugar. It's a type of sugar that's in red meat. So, and we know, again, friends of friends. I got lots of friends of things who actually has this. Once you get this thing, you can't eat beef, pork,
really?
Anything that's got red meat. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I had my first Beyond Burger a couple of weeks ago. And I ordered it by accident in the restaurant.
By accident?
Yes, but no, I'm not going to lie to you. So
you just thought, this is such a great burger, it's unbeyond.
No, so this is what happened. I was in the famous Georgetown bar, restaurant establishment, the Tombs, which we have talked about when we talked about the Brat Pack. It's the bar that inspired St. Elmo's fire. Mm-hmm. Anyway, just go back and listen to that show. And, you know, I'd been in there and I'd had a couple of ales, and then someone said, hey, let's get some food. And I've had a couple of ales, so I'm not really paying attention to the menu, but I'm thinking, I want a burger. And so my eyes immediately just looked at what the different burgers were. And the first one was the classic burger. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not having a classic. What else have they got? And the Beyond Burger was being sold in its spiel as charbroiled with grilled peppers and such cheese on top.
Did you see the word Beyond, though?
Well, I did, but my subconscious was so honed in, because remember, I'd had a couple of ales.
But I think you're just proving what I said, which is you saw the word Beyond, you said Beyond is better than regular.
No, I was like, ooh, it's got such and such cheese and grilled peppers. Right. I'm thinking, yeah, I don't just want, like, slice of American and tomato. So I ordered the Beyond Burger, and it was only when it came that I'm like, ooh, this is a Beyond Burger. My mind had got so caught up on it, because obviously I think a little bit they have to dress it
now
up.
when you did you realize this because of the taste, or because you just sort of clued in when
a bit later when the menu was still there, and I was just looking at the menu, so, and I'm like, oh, but I ate it and it was interesting.
Was it good? I've had the Beyond Burger and I think it's excellent.
I wouldn't say it was excellent. I thought it was quite good. I can't decide if it tasted less than it did because I knew it wasn't. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know how I am. Well, once I take a position.
They put a lot of fixings on it, right? Right. A lot of fixings, and it reduces the...
But someone asked me, said, well, what did you... My teenage stepdaughter, who's a committed vegetarian, said, well, she was excited when I told her that I'd had it. Like, somehow I was joining the team. And she's like, what did you think of it? And I was very honest. I'm like... If I went and this was immediately what I jumped to, like if you're at a baseball game or something and you just buy like a house, if I bought the house burger and it was Beyond Burger, I wouldn't know it wasn't meat, and I would actually go, I got to tell you something, the ballpark hamburgers are better than they've been before. But what I'm saying is, was it good enough for me? Did I like the flavor enough to go and order it again? Probably not. And the giveaway for me,
if you're going to a restaurant, and you're getting a $16 burger meal, you want the full meat experience.
The only thing that's different, but you know something, I give them great credit because the flavor is relatively close. It's the consistency that is slightly different. So, getting towards the end of the show. Now, if you are a longtime listener, you know that the mashup is on its way. So before that, a little bit of time to talk about the show. Kind of linked to technology, kind of linked to content. Let's use the 2022 best of to promote some upcoming shows. I meant to do it when the World Cup was in the summer, and it would have been easy then. I have, and because we didn't do a New Year's resolution show, this was sort of going to be my resolution, is that during the World Cup, for the 32 days, so basically starting the day before, running all the way until the day after, and I'm trying to do the math, I will record every evening for 15 minutes to release a pod overnight during the World Cup. And I might have people on if I get really desperate, and it might just be me talking or calling people up. And it's basically, it is centered on the World Cup, but it will not be about soccer. And that is all I'm going to say.
Could you do it live and then just put the recording in?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to do it to release it at an hour, because it is only going to be 15 minutes.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, if you said it, like, I don't mean it would be only live. I'm just saying, as long as you're recording something that's supposed to be timely and quick, rather than people have to wait for it to come out as a recording, couldn't you just stream it and then take that stream and make it into a release?
My plan is to basically do it if there are three games in a day, and the last game tends to be, if you're here on the East Coast of the U.S., the last game tends to finish around 6 o'clock. Now, when the World Cup was in Brazil, they did have a whole load of late games. I say late, I mean late back in Europe, where you had to watch the game at midnight back in Europe. We did have a number of games that finished at 8 o'clock in the evening. So I don't know from the Middle East what times it's going to be. Because obviously at local time, they still want games to be played when locals are going to go and watch it, right? Do you see what I'm saying?
Sure. Which part of this is a response to my comment?
Well, I'm going
to
explain.
Live.
I'm going to record after the last game of the day, okay. Right. And then have it up there so that people listen to it potentially before they can listen to it any time before the next day's games go.
Okay, let me try this one more time. Why not just stream it while you're recording it so people can tune into it?
Yes, I might do that, yes.
And then release the recorded version.
Well, if I can figure out how to do that, we will do that too. But it's going to be a limited series. We're going to be exhausted. Well, but I've always wanted to do it. And then let me give you let me tell you what one of the inspirations was.
Hopefully you don't have allergies then.
No, well, I hope not either. Remember during the last World Cup? Well, there was right at the same time during the World Cup, that was when all those kids were trapped in those in the cave in Thailand. And so every day for like 2 weeks, you turn on the news and it would be an update on their condition. And I just thought, because the World Cup is this sort of finite period, it'd be interesting to just pod every day, and who knows what the world will give us to talk about. And if nothing else, you talk about the games.
Well, if you don't talk about the games, I'm not sure.
That's because something else exciting is going on.
Okay.
I just thought it was interesting. Like, there was that dual narrative within the media of sort of World Cup time where, and I will, and this is one of the things I am going to talk about. I've already planned about 6 or 7 shows. I have a show to talk about what I think are some of the best books ever about soccer. I have a show with full of facts about the history of the World Cup. You know, just so that anyone can, like, hey, it's 10, 15 minutes while you're going to work. That is my plan. But I just thought it was kind of interesting that I kept thinking, well, there's some real fuel for something there, that you're in this sort of artificial World Cup time, and then there was this real life event occurring which sort of had a rightly or wrongly, had this sort of media timetable with it as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Day 12 of the trapped kids. Wishing that a whole load of people are in distress, you know, to give me something to talk about. It mm-hmm. just made me think,
things that make you go,
Yeah. So that's a big announcement.
I like that. I would like to... Which side would you like to wager that you actually stay below or above 10 or 15 minutes with this time?
Let me wait to see. Come August and September, which will be a couple of months before the World Cup, I will have sort of skeleton... I currently have a skeleton set of shows of things to talk about.
Yeah.
And so...
You know you have a betting system for other things.
Yes.
I think I have a betting system for if Zeph ever says he's going to do something in a certain amount of time, take the over.
All right. Well, that, we're going to leave that out there. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's probably a legit. That's probably a legit wager to take. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
But that said, it will be interesting if you do this every day. 15 minutes suddenly might seem an awful long time.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. That's what I mean. You'll have to use the other things because, I mean, you could talk about the games, but if you literally just talked about the games,
yeah, who wants to listen to that?
People would be very bored of that.
Yeah, who wants to listen to that?
Yeah.
So, anyway, this is a big announcement. It will run on the website.
When's the opening match?
I don't know. I got to do all that research. I've been researching shows. I don't. Well, no, because the draw was only
the end of November,
day.
Like the last.
All right. So I set myself a challenge on the allergy season show that we did back in April, and I've now doubled down by repeating the clip on the best of. As you heard, my partner is betting against me. We shall see. All right. It is now mashup time. Now, if you're new to the pod, and I'm glad to say that we have continued to pick up new listeners despite our diminished output over the last year. If you are a new listener, well, we traditionally conclude the annual Best of Show with something called the mashup. We break out the bell and throw together all the odd bits, singing, one-liners, noises, what have you. There's no context, no explanation, they're just there. So, drum roll please. Here's your mashup for 2022.
Yeah, I remember, you know, wasn't Jimmy Fallon skit on SNL where, like, they were actually like a cheesy DJ, and like each time you go, he's like,
and we're back! And we're back! Which we actually, and can I quickly digress? In a decade, because we are coming up on a decade.
I was just thinking about
of
that.
Podcasting.
We're
going
to get back to that idea. Of,
yes, we're going to do a, we're going to do something to celebrate, some sort of live show. But we have avoided, I'd like to think, the standard radio cliches of we're back. Yeah. Well, just but doing that stupid voice. Anyway, stop and think about it, and then I can try and do it. Hey, Eric, can you play some Aussie for me? I think that's a pretty decent Birmingham accent on the cuff of it.
I don't know, 2 minutes or something, out comes Daniel Craig, because he's playing
he's doing Macbeth.
Macbeth, sorry.
In the absence of real science, pseudoscience is all we have.
Oh, like you're thinking, oh, I'm sitting around the table playing with everyone for 3 hours.
Yeah.
But I'll give you a game of chess. Right?
Yep. I'm going to say that that's not true,
okay.
And I'm going to provide an answer that I think might also not be true.
Okay, fair enough. Well, what the hell? Yeah.
But you won't be able to challenge me because you don't want
this
me to
endeavor. Like, so dabbled in untruths for years.
I don't.
Some
yeah,
long,
connected,
long time connected points of interest.
Yeah, yeah.
And we also have some dead people a bit later.
Yeah, which is also like a long term interest. And it's got a, like a Phil Rizzuto segment, like halfway through it, a spoken word segment where Phil Rizzuto's talking about rounding the bases.
Holy cow. Like in the studio by the lake, we have fallen into a pattern of recorded remotely, but I don't think it's affected the quality of the show.
Well,
the majority of the listeners of the Atlantic Voice, quite interesting group.
I got distracted halfway through that.
Oh, okay.
Things on the next item here. What were we just talking about?
In that, no, the tail uses for balance. It's like a cat.
Mm-hmm. Penny a point. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Of course, he played for money.
Yeah. Well, not of my grandmother. It's a bit unseemly taking cash off an old lady or having an old lady take cash off you, frankly.
Yeah, either way,
it's not good. Yeah. Yeah, really, it's all opinion.
Yeah.
Frankly, I think you actually get more facts in a show like this.
Yeah,
I
mean, that's probably true. I don't know why they're not just red, green, and blue, but, you know, cyan, magenta, and yellow, and this, that, and the other thing.
So anyway,
as usual, completely distracted from our central point.
Yeah, right? Sorry. So
you know, whatever.
My wife, God love her.
Mutual deal.
My wife, God love her. She bought a little container for all the dog's toys. So she puts them all in them, but she arranges them such a way. I remember when she bought it, she's like, look, and I can prop the toys up, and then the dog can come and select the one that she wants and play with it. And it makes perfect sense.
We have that for the cats, but they can't see.
Well, so this thing, the dog no knows, and it rolls over there to get the toys. The issue is my wife seems to be depressed that she can't put them back. I'm like, it don't work that way. She's not going to like, oh, I'm finished with this one. Let me put it back in the container.
Explain to your wife that when she puts them in, she uses her thumb. And the dog doesn't have a thumb. So the dog can't possibly do that. There's a whole bunch of like famous people on a lot of these.
Todd Rundgren, Werewolves of London.
Yeah. Is that right? He wrote that?
Oh. Werewolves of London.
That's Warren Zevon.
Is that Todd Rundgren?
Right.
No, is that Warren Zevon? Oh, okay.
Okay.
Time.
So, should be interesting, you know? I mean, it's kind of, like, even though it's sort of weird, it's sort of interesting. You know, I think, you know, as the tech person, don't you have, like, a mute button for these things?
I do, but I had so much sort of allergy-inspired sort of reaction, I didn't have time to reach for the mute button.
5 deer came through the backyard, jumped over our next door fence like it was nothing. Like, boom, pop.
I am constantly surprised at how many deer I see lying on the side of the road.
Yeah, this is why they get run over, is
because
they go.
Because they're dumb. Like, if you can't get,
the squirrels, get away more.
Yeah, exactly.
Than the deers.
Exactly. If there's a big 18 wheeler coming down the road, and the deer.
But, you know, like, it there.
Like, you play it and you type and you go, ooh, is thong a dirty word? No, exactly. It's a guy well, underwear. No,
that's you know that's we. This was not fun.
No, it's all pretty brutal. And again, this is now a sad reflection of me. As we're talking about sort of tangentially knowing people involved in it.
Did my, you say tangentially?
Yes. Because this is an evening show and you've got a beer.
I'm hearing a lot of geese in my backyard.
Oh, that could be a sign.
It'd be awkward if you started singing songs while the band is singing a different song.
Yeah.
Now everybody's singing the band song. Yeah. So, you know, they got that.
Although, you have to question your choice of band if you then go and decide you want to fight with someone else over it. No! Yeah. The other version is much better.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah.
Man, I was only watching Goodfellas last week. That's the reality of this.
Well,
that's the reality.
I disagree with that premise. You can't say
that's my premise.
That's your opinion.
Yes. Well, yeah. My opinion.
I will say, like,
my
reason,
opinions are
their
my
reason
facts.
Is to drive.
There's your mashup. Now, I have to tell you, I have often toyed with putting together an all mashup special now that we've been on for a decade. Oh, let's see. Yeah, we started in September 2012, so this would be 10 years. So that means 9 best ofs. Anyway, that would mean that the mashup special would be about an hour long. And of course, that then means that the bell is going to go off every minute to 90 seconds. Yeah, I'm not so sure now. All right, this has been the Atlantic Voices 2022 Best Of Special. And now we've got to the end of the show. I guess I have to answer the question posed at the start of the show, whether or not Eric got his due. Or was he squeezed out, as he will no doubt claim? I will let you, the listener, decide. Anyway, as I've just said, we've been on for 10 years, and we do have plans for some sort of celebration where we hope to thank as many of you out there that can make it in person. And if you can't, well, I'm going to take a moment right now to thank you for your continued support. Now, Eric and I have always said that we'd do this show if it was only us listening to it, but we won't lie. It's humbling to know how many of you have hung with us over the years. And if you are a new listener, well, don't forget, you can go to the archive on the blog and have your fill, or you can be filled by just clicking on the stream button and having us there 24/7. Ooh, what a thought. All right, one last very short clip, which in a strange way completely sums up who we both are. So on behalf of Eric and myself, take care.
Okay, when you just said to me, I've got a skunk story for me, the first thing that popped into my subconscious was Pepe Le Pew. And I've suddenly realized that, again, a lot of this depends on the age you are, but if you're our age and you grew up working, like watching like Hanna-Barbera cartoons, there's a subconscious right. part of me that probably evaluates animals depending on their cartoon personality. So while in general, I'm not dealing with real animals, at a certain level, to come back to where we started, talking about the bears, well, that's Yogi
that's
Bear.
Why
and,
I'm always,
Yogi Bear and Boo Boo.
That's why I'm always disappointed when rabbits aren't funny.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for The Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.